World War One on the BBC.
Naval and military tableau. Delightful music. Refreshments at popular prices.
The 1st of August. It's the start of a sunny bank holiday weekend in London. Madame Tussauds advertises its latest exhibition.
A European crisis. Lifelike portrait models of His Imperial Majesty the Emperor of Austria, King Peter of Serbia, and other reigning sovereigns of Europe.
In Whitehall, the decision makers are in a grim mood. The situation on the continent is deteriorating rapidly. Germany has issued an ultimatum to Paris and to St. Petersburg that unless it receives assurances, it will declare war this afternoon. Despite this, Sir Edward Grey, the Foreign Secretary, is still resisting pleas for British support for France. A sympathetic journalist asks the French ambassador what he is going to do.
I am waiting to see whether the word honour should be stripped from the English vocabulary.
We have not willed the war. It has been forced upon us.
In Berlin, Chancellor Bethmann Hollweg addresses the German parliament. The government has heard nothing back from the Russians or the French in answer to their ultimatums. Germany will declare war on Russia at 5 p.m.
If the iron dice now must roll, then may God help us.
But perhaps, even at the 11th hour, there is a hope of keeping the peace, at least in the West. A pair of telegrams from Prince Lichnowsky, the German ambassador in London, bring staggering news. The British Foreign Secretary is apparently going to offer Britain's neutrality if Germany pledges not to attack France. The Kaiser orders champagne all round.
Now we can go to war against Russia only. We simply march the whole of our army to the east.
The chief of his general staff, Helmut von Moltke, is horrified. It's far too late to change the German plan for a two-front war. But the Kaiser overrules him and stops mobilization in the west. Moltke leaves crushed. His wife thinks he's had a stroke.
I saw something terrible had happened here. He was purple in the face, his pulse hardly countable. I had a desperate man in front of me.
The Kaiser goes to bed early, much relieved. But he is awakened at 11 p.m. by Moltke, who brings a telegram from the British.
There must be some misunderstanding as to a suggestion that passed in friendly conversation between Prince Lichnowsky and Sir Edward Grey this afternoon.
Lichnowsky is desperate to avoid a war between Germany and Britain, but he has misunderstood Grey's suggestions that they must go on trying to find a way to keep the peace. Moltke asks the Kaiser if the military plans can go ahead.
I'll do as you please. I don't care either way.
With that, he turns over and goes to sleep. The invasion of France is back on. Meanwhile, in Russia, the German ambassador, Count Portales, is handing over his government's declaration of war to Sergei Sazonov, the Russian foreign minister. The German asks Sazonov three times if Russia will back down. Each time, the answer is no.
Count Portales, losing all self-control, went to the window and, putting his hands to his head, began to weep.
I never could have believed that I should quit St. Petersburg under these conditions.
He then embraced the minister and went away.
Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. You can see a cartoon by the artist Posy Simmons, inspired by the events in this episode, at the Radio 4 website.